Welcome back to here, which is where we are. Still aboard the good rickety sinking ship.
Yar
indeed.
Don't pirate your anime. Yar.
Yar.
I love that fucking that image that they use. Don't pirate anime with fucking Luffy on there. I'm like,
we've had a lot of fun today, but you know what kind of pirating isn't fun? Well, the kind with lots of rape and murder. But also. Okay,
none of it.
Two kinds of pirating that are very bad and you should not engage in.
The Reichert reveal of pirates are bad?
Tune in for more Pirates Are Bad, maybe, tomorrow at TFS at the Table. But today, we're here to talk about anime.
My Hero Academia.
Yes, specifically, My Hero Academia, episode 55. Is it Academia or Academia? I know in, like, just the word you can say it either way. I wonder if there's a pronunciation that is preferred for the title of this show.
That's a good question.
I feel like I've almost... Other than you, heard universally academia, mm-hmm. But I like as soon as you said academia, I was never like that can't be right.
I mean, honestly, I guess it's one of those. If you can say academia two ways, mm-hmm. then I guess either way is accurate as long as you don't say Boku no Hero Academia like an asshole.
Yeah, then you're wrong.
Yeah, then you're wrong.
Or Japanese, in which case,
which is
in which case you're wrong for entirely different reasons having to do with your culture and upbringing.
Yeah, exactly.
Sooner or later, people are going to find out that I'm not just pretend racist. I'm actually racist. No, that one's not actually true.
Just isolate that clip, folks.
Yep. My Hero Academia, episode 55. Icy Hot kicks a bunch of ninja ass and passes easily. Creation Girl, Froppy, Armwings, and Earjack square off against Miss Monocle and her generic minions, winning by going all out on attack and something-something the power of friendship. Bakugo, Hard Boy, and Zappy Boy square off against some weird meatball conjuring motherfucker, and Deku, Gravity Girl, and Tape Boy go up against a bunch of randos.
I'm sure glad we got this compelling, interesting fight with Todoroki. Sorry, I didn't get any sleep last night, so talking about this is kind of my NyQuil.
Yeah, it felt like they were almost just like sorry about that. We needed to fill some time last episode. We'll get this out of the way quick.
Don't
we promise.
Worry.
Yeah, like he's fighting ninjas. Isn't that cool? We already know that Naruto is something that we kind of aped heavily from like early on and kind of continue to this day. But hey, like we actually have ninjas in here. Isn't that neat? Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Also, we only need to make one character design and then we can palette swap. It's the Street Fighter 2.
Also, one of them's a lady ninja because eventually there's an explosion that blows some clothes off and you see panties in a bra. Just gotta look for it. Anyway, I actually found that like this part okay.
I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not like the thing that I liked about this episode because I mentioned before we started that I was like, I really like this episode, and you seemed surprised, and I can get that. but I think this episode did a lot. Like, did what I really like about this show, or like one of the things I really like about this show is that. The side characters get to do stuff, and they get to be in interesting situations, and they have situations that are tailored to them. Like having, you know, Todoroki go like, they're using physical attacks to stop my ice, and they've got water to stop my fire. These guys knew I was coming and were ready for it. I'm like, that's cool. I feel like we don't get enough stuff where it's like, you have these specific powers. We've brought this counterattack to your powers specifically. What are you going to do about it? And him being like... You know, piecing together like, oh, this is a city. This gas tank probably has actual gas in it, and that's going to make my fire really hot.
I do like that fact where it's like, there's no reason they would have built this to not like they built this city. They obviously tried to make it realistic to give us a realistic environment to train in, and that's train in / test in. Like they want us to use.
They want to know what we do in the real place.
Yes, and that's kind of cool. It's also sort of crazy, and I don't know how they built all of this. And
yeah, well, and you know what? Just saying that right now makes me realize that the building that Froppy and who's in that? Yeah, Froppy, Creation Girl, Armwings. That whole situation was basically built around earphone jacks power set.
Yeah,
because they built this city on rock and.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was all a ruse. All an elaborate setup.
I was like, he's making an interesting point. Where is he going to... Damn it. Thanks, Ben.
I've gotten so good at figuring out when these
I knew you could see it coming.
But well, no, here's the thing. Not at first, but it was. But when you said her her phone jack powers because the city, I'm like, God damn it. Anyways, yeah. So,
but we get to see Todoroki pass, and he goes to the waiting room for the kids who've passed. We see Wind Guy in there, and he gives Todoroki a look like it's like a. Oh, we got to talk later.
Yeah.
But then goes back to his goofy, like, I love Stamp Man or whatever, the superhero he was gushing about. And the guy's like, you started talking to me. What do you want?
So there's this part of me. It's kind of interesting because, like I've said almost every one of these episodes, and I don't know why I continue to repeat myself. I've read the manga. So this scene happens in the manga, but something I notice is that, yeah, he does just randomly engage this other dude.
Mm-hmm.
Was he trying to not talk to Todoroki there?
Yeah, I think he's like actively avoiding.
Yeah, I kind of felt like as that conversation went on, I'm like, why did he start just randomly talking to this dude about Stamp Man? Wait a second. Yeah, he goes right back to talking to him after he looks at Todoroki like, yeah, anyway, so I really like Stamp Man, right? And I'm like, yeah, I think he was trying to avoid that conversation. I think he was trying to avoid Todoroki in that moment. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I still find myself very intrigued by this weird dude. Yeah. I want to know what his deal is.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to them giving him some more screen time.
Yeah.
And after that is when we jump into the lockdown situation with Yaoyarosa and gang.
Yep.
You know what? I can remember like 90% of their names here. Jiro, Yaoyarosu, fucking
multi-arm guy.
Multi-arm guy. I know Suyu as aka Froppy. I cannot remember multi-arm dude.
Dopey, bashful.
Denki, Shoji, something like that. It's a very simple two-syllable name, but
yeah.
He also shows up so little.
Also, I do love where they pump the air pump the room full of cold air, which makes Froppy go down. I'm like, she really is just kind of a frog lady. Yeah. Like, there's no way of getting around it. She's a frog person.
Yep.
Yeah, she comes with the strengths and weaknesses of frogs.
Yes.
But I really like that because I thought that whole setup was really cool. With first of all, I think that's a good set of characters. Like that power set and like group is a very interesting dynamic, and I liked it because we hardly ever, I feel like, get to see multi-arm guy do cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when he pops in, it always feels like incidental. It's just like, and he was there too, so he got to help out. But in this episode, he not only like was useful, he was like, just able to use all of his senses to better figure out where enemies were. But on top of that, he's also like gives the motivational pivot of like, no, I saw when Midoriya was faced with who are we going to save, one or the other, and he went both. Like that was inspiring to me and has kept me moving forward too. I'm like, that's cool. We got a good, like, we pulled back to a moment where he showed up somewhat incidentally and made it feel like it mattered. And I really like that the show, I feel like, consistently does that. It'll have very, like, this character just happened to be at this spot, and then six or seven episodes down the line, someone's like, don't you remember? I was there. I saw this happen, and that had an impact. I'm like, that's good shit. That's my jam.
So, interesting thing. This wasn't in the manga.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask, because
it felt unessential.
Yeah, not quite so much as multicolored ninjas, but I'm sitting here like, yeah, this feels like filler. Mm-hmm. This feels like, at most, this is the sort of thing that after everybody who's passed is in that waiting room, you'd get like a panel of, oh yeah, we fought a dude who did this.
Yeah.
And then they stretch that into most of the episode.
Yeah. No, you didn't get that in the manga. You don't know how any of them, like any of, like all of those guys, I don't think they show how they pass it all in the manga. Like, we're just getting a bunch of extra stuff because the anime was like, well, first of all, we have to kind of pad out to the end of this arc because, like, I was wondering because, in the back of my mind, I was like, is there enough material to go a whole 13 episodes with these tests?
Mm-hmm.
But moreover, I also thought to myself, yeah, in the manga, they kind of just brush over all of its side characters and focus, like, mainly on, like, maybe four of, like, in five, eight. Here, yeah, the anime wants to go out of its way to give all these characters, show how they won, and an added benefit, show you other schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is actually one thing while I didn't need to see all this stuff, it is kind of cool to see other schools and all these girls, these preppy girls, mm-hmm. and their Ojo-sama leader.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, This is a little more anime than I'm used to with My Hero Academia, but that's cool.
So you know what clued me in that it was probably filler? Was two things. So first, they've got the sniper girl with the big hand slingshot thing, and she shoots out all the windows so that they can't see out of them. Well, wait. Each window perfectly shatters so that it's opaque but doesn't knock the entire pane out? That's kind of convenient. Also, about 2 minutes later, all these steel shutters come down. A, why didn't they do that to begin with? And B, how did they get control of the building and the shutter system? So, yeah, it's like not a huge deal breaker, but the show is usually a little smarter than that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hit you with number one real quick.
Okay.
The reason they didn't open with the shutters, we had to injure Earjack Girl's ear.
That's true.
That was a crucial part of the plan, because phase one was get rid of their senses. We cut out the ears and we cut out the eyes. Mm. And then, obviously, yes, they didn't need to cut out the eyes with the ear with the slingshot, but I think that was... we need to show that someone is shooting at them and then throw the shutters. I think every window is just opaque and we can't see through it now was maybe a convenient side effect that was unnecessary since they were going to close the shutters anyway. But yeah, and as far as how they got control of the building, someone's power.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing. When it comes to, like, pumping in the cold air, they show, oh, that's somebody's power. Somebody's standing by one of the vents and using their power to pump cold air in. Yeah. I'll go with that all day because if anything... Only having one or two powers that are super relevant on the enemy side like that is less than we usually get.
Yeah. But, like, I really liked that sequence. The only thing that I thought was kind of disappointing is, like, Froppy doesn't really get to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, she gets to be there as a red herring, which I think was cool. Because as soon as the cold air starts coming in, my mind immediately went to where they want it to go, which is, oh, this is to cut off Froppy. This is to make her too cold to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, the curtain pull of, like, no, this was actually for Creation Girl to have to deal with something and waste her power.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just to drag her out. I was like, that's actually a really good twist because it fooled me, too. And then when they solved it with a fairly simple solution, I had also thought, why don't we drill through the floor or something with like a little drill thing? Like, there were a couple ways they could have gotten around it, but I did really like, again, just the, here are these, what feels like a slapdash group of characters. We're going to tailor a situation to them and show you how they get out of it. And they did it like 2 to 3 times in this very episode, but I was like, every time I was just like, that's really cool. I'm glad we have an interesting power set of characters getting to do stuff who we don't normally get to see.
Yeah, it is a bit of a narrative convenience, too, that every time somebody proposes an alternate solution, the easy rebuttal, like, let's funnel us into the one solution we actually want to use is, no, they'll be expecting that.
So we need to break down the door. Nah, that's probably what they're planning. Well, then we should probably try to force our escape. That's probably what they're planning.
Well, that's... The correct mindset to take on that one is always plan, like, make safe the safest plan you possibly can. And they did. Like, if for all intents and purposes, I don't think they expected a sound attack like that, which, like, it kind of seems like an obvious solution when it happens, but...
Yeah, well, I think that's why they went so far out of their way to shut Creation Girl down, because her power is so flexible that as long as she's on the field, it's hard to predict what she'll do.
Yeah, and that's why... Yairozu is one of those characters who's got this very unique power that has so much flexibility, and I love it.
Yeah. That's... So we did a D&D one-shot with kobolds a few weeks back.
Yeah.
There is a wizard character in D&D 5e that basically has that power.
Yeah.
And that is why I chose that as my one-shot character. Oh, man, I want to play around with that dumb shit.
Make some silly situations work out.
Yeah. It's got a few more limitations than what we see from Yuyarosa, but it's dumb fun.
Yeah. Also, the fun bit with her just... taking her top off to get some earmuffs and just be like, sorry, you're going to have to deal with the current situation real quick. Like, that's a good way to go. I got to get naked to make my stuff. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm also really glad. So I love Yairozu's response to that to just start taking her clothes off in front of Arm Dude, which shows a lot of comfort with her own body, but also kind of like this... maybe disregard for, like, or maybe respect for Arm Dude.
Yeah.
Like, I know you'll do the right thing. I got better things to worry about right now.
Hey, guess what? Yeah. When push comes to shove, I know what's more important.
I could think of at least 5 male characters that, if they had been present, would have been more of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got Denki, you've got Midoriya, you've got, what's his name?
Tape guy would probably. Yeah.
Which one's Denki?
Lightning Dude.
Yeah, Lightning Dude, definitely. Yeah. I mean,
especially Like, especially
Kirishima's manliness might have gotten in the way a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyway,
and,
so.
Yeah. And do we even need to say Minata?
Nope.
Nope. But we did anyway.
But
I love Taka made the perfect tweet. Minata is the kind of guy who walks around in public with an Ahegao shirt.
Yep.
I really like the tweet I saw with, there was Shinzo we saw in the tournament like last season, guy with mind control powers. He's like, but wants to do good and just strives to be a good man. Like, that guy entered, but then fucking Mineta passes. Like, what? This world isn't fair. You've got someone with such a useful power who's,
by the way,
stuck in another class.
Do you know how Mineta passed?
I don't even remember. I know.
He aced the writing exams.
So he's just a nerd.
Yeah, the fact that he aced all the writing exams is the only reason he was able to get in, even though his power is not very useful.
It's pretty good. But then after that, we cut back to Deku's group. We got him, Uraraka, and Sero, Tape Man.
Yeah.
And he's basically going, all right, well, you guys capture people, so we have easy targets. I will be a distraction. And then we get a cutaway to Eraserhead and Joke. Mm-hmm. And she's going like, so you really like your class, and you're all worried that they're divided and split up and you can't see them. Like, you must really care about them if you're so worried about them. And, like, we get another cool character moment of Racer being like, oh, I'm not scared. We got two classmates who are some cool shit. And whenever they're on the scene, everyone else gets better and performs up, like, reaches for their bar. And I don't want to miss it, because it's going to be sick when they kick your class's ass.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's I'm not worried. I'm excited.
Like, I feel like at every turn, Eraser is actually getting the better of Joke, like, in every conversation they have, because she keeps coming up with, like, oh, you underestimate us. You think we're just some dumb shit, but here we go. We look further ahead than you think. And he's like, actually, we look way further ahead.
Yeah, you think the villains aren't going to know what their power sets are? Because yeah. They will.
Yeah, I love that line, by the way. I don't know if I talked just how much I absolutely love that reasoning. Mm-hmm. He's like, everyone wants to come in here like not knowing what their powers are. Yeah, that ain't going to work in the real world. Yeah. Once they become heroes, everyone's going to know what they're going to do. So they're going to have to be smarter, better, stronger, faster.
Yeah.
And you know what our guys have been doing while your guys have been practicing in their gymnasiums?
Oh, look at me. I can hold my breath and disappear.
Yeah. Aren't I neat?
Yeah, no. These guys have literally been fighting for their lives. So have fucking fun. Also, I want on the subject of Joke.
Yeah.
Amberlee Connors,
yes, the voice. Congratulations,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, Amberlee Connors, aka like the owner of Sound Cadence Studios, a company that we've worked with for a long time. They're basically our recording studio.
Yep. They're producing the Hell's Dub in collaboration with ourselves and Discotech. Mm-hmm.
And she plays our Android 18. Is Joke in the English dub of My Hero Academia?
Yeah. Grats to Amber. Couldn't have happened to a more deserving person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then the guy Bakugo and friends runs into with man who turns you into pile of meat or something.
I wasn't sure if that was something he was, like, were all those supposed to be people that he turned into that? Or can he just, like, conjure a weird thing? I didn't get a good sense.
You see him, like, get Kirishima. Like, because he gets blasted or hit by whatever he throws and becomes a little meat pile thing. And now, it's so weird because if I was a betting man, if I would have put money down and it was like, all right, we've got Bakugo, Kirishima, and Kaminari. These three are going somewhere. One of them's going to get disabled during this fight. Who do you think it's going to be? I'm like, oh, Kaminari, because we need to see the Bakugo, Kamishima, like, team up. Nope. And instead, Kirishima does the noble sacrifice thing and pushes Bakugo out of the way. So then that's kind of all we get to see of this showdown so far. But it's a really weird power, and I'm real curious to see what it's about.
Yeah. This one, by the way, is not filler, and it's a cool fight.
Yeah, you could tell, like, oh, this is what they're building up towards. Yeah. This is the one to pay attention to.
Yeah, and it really is. I love this fight. I love everything that's about to come up. Like, this is where the test actually starts to take its real upswing. So I'm excited. I'm hoping that the filler is a little less intrusive, but
yeah, that's, I mean, we can pretty safely assume that whatever this horrific transformation is, it is temporary. They wouldn't let him in here to
kill a bunch of people.
But that does raise an interesting point that I hadn't considered before, is that we haven't seen any powers that are just inherently deadly.
Just pure lethal.
Yeah. Like, there was in the Ultimate X-Men comic book, which is a pretty mixed bag, but it has this great issue where this mutant's power manifests and it just kills everything in a 1 mile radius.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one.
Yeah. Plants, animals, people, everything. He can't turn it off. He can't control it.
Just a mile around him is death.
Is death. And so Wolverine goes to go handle it because he can regenerate faster than it kills him. And he goes, and this kid, you know, he's realized, oh my God, something terrible is happening. He's tried to like sequester himself. Mm. And, you know, they've put up, you know, quarantine, like,
don't come in here.
Don't go. We don't know what's happening, but it's bad. Wolverine sneaks past the quarantine, finds the kid, hands him a beer, cracks open a beer with him, says, hey, so here's what's happening. You're a mutant. Your powers are manifesting. They're really bad. I want you to know this is not your fault. And the kid says, but you're going to teach me how to control it, right? That's what you do. Hey. No, that's not what I'm here for.
I'm here to tell you that your power can't be around.
Yeah, and it would look really bad for our cause if it became public knowledge what just happened here. So,
oh man,
sorry, kid. Drink your beer, and then the issue just ends.
Well, it ends with him leaving the cave.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And oh my God. Like, I remember you told me about that. Mm. So I went and I found it and I read it. And then I was depressed for
yeah,
a
it
while.
Is heartbreaking. And I realized we haven't seen anything quite like that in this world. Seems
no,
like.
No quirks that it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
This quirk's bad for humanity just in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can definitely kill a lot of people with the quirks on display.
Oh, yeah.
But. Yeah, nothing is inherently lethal by its nature.
Yeah, there's not even like a rogue analog like, oh, I can't kiss a boy.
Now, what if we find out that Bakugo's explosions are putting some kind of chemical out there that's destroying the ozone layer faster than cars?
Yeah, every time Bakugo moves somewhere with his power, he's actually taking years off the earth.
I don't know that there's much more to say about this episode other than that filler included. It was still real good. It was because the filler can be slightly under the bar we've come to expect. It wasn't the greatest episode yet, but I still enjoyed it.
This was my second favorite tea drinking villain, antagonist from My Hero Academia. It's going to be a while till we see my favorite. But good season, or a good episode so far. I don't really care for filler in My Hero Academia by and large, but at least it is going out of its way to show us things that we didn't get to see in the manga, which is something I approve of. I'm always a fan of when instead of placating, it's expanding. And that is the kind of filler that may not always be great, but it's way better than the other kind of filler you can get, aka the first episode of this season, which was... We knifed that episode. Yeah, that's how bad that was.
Yeah. I liked this episode, even if it was fillery. Like I said, if it's filler that shows me stuff for characters who don't get a lot of screen time, I think that's worth it, and I appreciate that, because immediately after this episode, I thought and cared more about Multi-Arm Man than I have this whole series. And that's, I think that matters. That's really cool to have your side characters feel like they matter more than maybe they kind of actually do in the overall narrative. I greatly appreciated this episode, even if it was fillery. I will take filler episodes like this 10 out of 10 times over this Frieza Goku fight is going to be 1,000 episodes long, or hey, this episode's all about us having a swimming contest that will never be resolved. Both of those I think are bad. This I think is good.
Yep. Well, we will see if it continues to be good. We will see if there's more filler or if we're on to Cannon City next week. Thank you for joining us.
Bitches love Cannon.
Aw, yeah.